This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Pacific Watch. Drought. The third year of the drought closes on California, especially Southern California. We go to Jeff Bliss, is Pacific Watch. Jeff, a very good evening to you. Governor Gavin Newsom is warning more stringent statewide water restrictions coming. But right now, I'm told, the LA Times, that it is forbidden to water non-functional grass. What is that, Jeff? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So when you're talking about non-functional grass, you're talking about grass that is purely decorative at businesses. It's in the common areas, in subdivisions, in homeowners association places. These are areas that, you know, if you don't have grass there, it's not going to make a difference in terms of the health and well-being. So right now they're talking about people getting recreation in at parks and at schools. Those will all keep watering their lawns or their grass for now. But in just common areas where it's right, a sense of, you know, it's there for beautification purposes, that's where they're calling it. That's where they're putting the red line, because they've got to start saving water now, or else, you know, who knows what it'll be like in a year from now.
Do you see brown lawns around you in Orange County?
We started to see a few, not a lot. But there is a widespread acknowledgement that that's coming. In some places, we've seen it in Las Vegas and other places in Los Angeles, people are pulling out their lawns. They see what's ahead, and they're starting to put on what they call xeriscaping, which is more natural. It's either rocks and cactus, succulents, things that don't require water, or they're putting down pavers. And that way, they don't have to worry about watering at all.
This is the third year of drought for Southern California, indeed for the West. So there are catastrophes coming. Fire is one of them, but more water restrictions. They're asking you, Jeff, to fireproof your homes. Is that because of the water, because of the fires, because of the dryness of the terrain? Why are they fireproofing now?
It's kind of a, you know, one thing for all of those reasons. So we're talking about primarily right now about areas that are fire prone up in the mountains and some of the drier districts throughout California and the West. And what they're talking about when they say fireproofing a home, they're talking about, let's replace the wood shake shingles on top of the roof that are highly flammable. Let's look for alternatives that are tile or some sort of metal or fiberglass. Make sure your home or your property has a clearance area around the structures so the fire just doesn't march right up to your structures and burn them down. Try to clear out any dead wood or kindling timber type things from the grounds around your property. And try to have some source of, you know, emergency water to help put out a fire, help suppress it a bit. And most of all, make sure you have a clear way in and out of your property. If fire comes, you don't want to be trapped there.
There's a story north of you, San Francisco, that some towns are sinking a foot. Is that the water table? Is that the aquifer retreating?
It definitely is. As there's less water available at the ground level and immediately below, they're having to go deeper, and they're pulling that water out of the aquifers. And it's not being replaced by the, you know, the typical annual melt-off from the mountains or from rainfall. And so what you do is you basically create a dry pocket, and it subsides. We've been seeing this happen in the Central Valley, where farmers have not been getting the water they've needed for years, and it's caused large portions of the Central Valley, America's breadbasket, to sink. You're not talking about inches, we're talking about several feet here. It's noticeable, and it continues to get worse.
And what about recommendations from the county or from Los Angeles? Are they talking about limiting yourself to so many gallons a day? Have you got mandates yet, Jeff, or is that coming?
It's coming. They're saying right now we should be preparing for about 20% less. So, you know, if you're already taking 100 gallons a day per person for water and bathing and other things around your household, start thinking about how you're going to cut that down to 80. Are you going to, you know, use your toilet less frequently? Are you going to shower less frequently or for shorter periods? I mean, there are checklists that come out from all these water agencies every time we have a drought. And of course, the basic premise is cut down on water use.
And let's go to the attendant risk of wildfires. We've talked about that year after year. It's not fire season yet, right? That begins in June and July.
Formally, you're correct. And for many parts of Southern California, they used to say August, September. But as things have warmed up over the past few years and things have gotten drier and there's been a greater buildup of brush that, you know, has just not been cleared in decades, it turns out that our fire season is almost year round. I mean, we just had a fire in Orange County a couple of weeks ago that destroyed a very expensive neighborhood. And most fire authorities, experts are saying, be prepared for more and more of that to happen.
Before I leave Southern California and head to Los Angeles, the Santa Ana Mountains, do I say that correctly? And one particular resident of the Santa Ana Mountains has been very important to me for a week. M317, a young mountain lion. What's happened?
He's been captured. He was seen wandering through Orange County, actually just down the street or road from where I live, and, you know, carousing up in the hills around here. There are still parts of Orange County that are unconquered by man. They're just, you know, these vast areas of open range or small woods. And, you know, there's lots of wildlife. We get the mountain lions in our neighborhood, bobcats, all sorts of rodents and birds and snakes. And so when we had the recent fires, they believe he was displaced by the wildfire and set off looking for some new place to settle. Of course, that took him through some of the tonier neighborhoods of Orange County, including Newport Beach, where he's finally captured.
And where is he now? What happens to him? He's tagged, isn't he? They track him.
They track him into Newport Beach, a nice neighborhood not far from UC Irvine and a couple other nice neighborhoods. And they tranquilized him. They did a quick examination to make sure he was okay. And then they relocated him up to the Santa Ana Mountains, I believe, which is just across the valley. And again, it's not very populated by people. There are a few canyons with people here and there, but it's still mostly the wildlife can settle up there and be, you know, unharmed by man. So that's usually where they relocate animals like this.
And if he comes back, they'll do the same thing. They don't actually punish him. He's just doing what he's looking for, a new habitat because of the fires.
That's correct. And when he was here, they tracked him. He didn't do anything strange. He didn't act, you know, out of the normal. He didn't attack or threaten anybody. So they feel like, you know, like I said, he was just displaced and looking for a new home. They're confident that he'll probably find some place to settle up in the hills.
Los Angeles, there is a mayor's race. There's going to be a first round, and the presumption is a second round. The last time we talked, it was Karen Bass, the prominent politician, and the surprise candidate, Rick Caruso, who's a developer. What is this, the present assumption by the LA Times?
The assumption is going to be that Rick Caruso wins this primary in a few weeks here in June. And then he and his runner-up, who will be Karen Bass, will go to a runoff election in November. And the reason they do that is because the winner has to get 50% plus one to win outright. The vote is too divided. He won't take 50% plus one. But he's been getting bigger and bigger endorsements as time goes along from Hollywood celebrities and activists and other people who feel like he's on the right track to fix Los Angeles. He's come out with a big plan to deal with some of the homeless situation here, and people are very excited about that.
There is one resident of Los Angeles you bring to my attention following mentioning politics. Reggie. I didn't know. How is Reggie in this drought?
Reggie the alligator seems to be doing well. You know, there's no news for him right now, but he's become sort of a new celebrity here in Los Angeles, in a place where celebrity is everything. So people are pretty excited about Reggie the alligator.
And he lives well. He's got his own swimming pool. They're not going to shortchange him on water or anything like that.
I don't think they'll shortchange him. And maybe, you know, they'll get him a nice chaise lounge and bottle service poolside one of these days. It's usually custom in L.A.
All right. M317 has returned to the Santa Ana Mountains, deeper in, away from the beach communities, and Reggie is comfortable with lots of water in Los Angeles. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.